And we'll read together in 2 Timothy 2:15 is the verse. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Just one verse tonight. And simply, this is just a word that God has given to me for 2014. You know, every year, the last few years, I've been just really trying to get a theme from the Lord. Lord, what's your theme going to be this year for me? What are you trying to speak to me? What do you want to do in me and with me and through me this year? And going back to 2012, the word was trials. That's a good word. That's a fun word, right? You know, and that wasn't just for me personally, but it was just the word that God gave me, whether it be for me or for people that I was, you know, able to minister to. But there was a lot of things that were faced in 2012. One being a hurricane that hit here worse than anything that we've ever seen in the Northeast. And something that was just a challenge for everybody, and the Lord opened great doors for ministry in the midst of that. And there's just a number of things that were trials in the midst of 2012. And then 2013, the word that the Lord gave me was refinement. And really simply always striving to grow deeper and to tweak things in my life, you know? Always little tweaks, little things. Oh, I can do better there. I can do better. Okay, there, here we go. Keep going. And you're just always finding things that you can do a better job at, that you can grow deeper in your walk with God in. Because none of us have reached perfection. And in 2012, the verse that the Lord spoke was 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. You don't have to turn there, but I'll turn there and just read it for us. It says, I should have marked my spot. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so the goal of the trials is to praise, honor, and glory, to give glory to the name of Jesus at the revelation of Jesus. When he's coming back, are we going to be found in that place of praising him, honoring him, glorifying his name? And then that word refinement in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is a very common verse for us all, but it says, "Being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." It's something, it's an ongoing process. He will complete it. He will be faithful to complete it. It's going to keep happening. He's not finished with us, right? So he's continuing to work. That's the refinement. That's the tweaking that always has to happen. And now for 2014, the word from here in 2 Timothy 2:15 is diligent. To be diligent. I encourage you guys to do this. You know, New Year's resolutions, we know a lot of times they come and go by January 4th. And some of them may last a few weeks or even a few months, but the word of God is what's going to change us. The word of God is what's going to challenge us, and that's what we need, is the word of God. And so I try, instead of having a resolution and I'm going to do this, 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 and this, I just say, Lord, give me your word for this year. What is the theme going to be that you're speaking to me, that you're working out, and what is the challenge that you're going to lay out for me this year? And so for me, and I just want to share with you guys and encourage you guys in this word to be diligent. Now that's a simple word, but there's so much to it. And as we study tonight, we're going to dissect this verse 15 a little bit, pulling out these words and simply doing studies on the words that we see here in 2 Timothy 2:15. But that is the simple word for me, for 2014, and I want to encourage you with tonight to be diligent. And I encourage you to ask God for you, and maybe you've already done this, but I've been so blessed to see in the last few years as the Lord has given me these clear themes, it's so cool to see how those themes play out as I'm reading another passage and how that ties in and how the Lord is working something out in me, and I see how it all works together. Why? Because it's God's word and it's God who's spoken it. And so in here we see that word, to be diligent. To be diligent. And that's the title of the message tonight, be diligent. It's very simple. And that word diligence, meaning careful or persistent work or effort. So what is diligence? It's a careful, persistent work or effort. It's perseverance. It's pushing through. It's that passionate pursuit of your goals, whatever your goals might be. Now, that's taking it just to a simple meaning, an earthly meaning, but here we know it's the Word of God, so it doesn't have just a simple, standard, earthly meaning, does it? Because God is infinite, and we're finite, and we need to connect to the infinite from our finite minds, and our finite minds say, diligence, okay, I'm going to work hard. Well, okay, working hard, but what does that look like? It's passionately pursuing our goal. What is our goal? Our goal needs to be God. Our goal needs to be a deeper relationship, a deeper knowledge, a deeper understanding of who God is and knowing our Creator and having this relationship with Him that's so deep that we know Him not just because of words on a page, not just because of the stories in the Bible that we've heard since we were little kids, but we know Him because we are experiencing Him. We're experiencing His work, and we're experiencing him speaking to us through His word on a regular basis. So diligence is persevering, this passionate pursuit. Don't give up. Hang in there. Diligence is one of those, even when things might be hard to understand, things might get difficult, diligence is continuing through those things. To work hard and to work effectively. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, that's a pretty clear indication that it's not easy. And that's Paul writing from a prison cell, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's encouraging, he's edifying, he's challenging the body of Christ and saying, you got to work it out. You have to work hard. It's not going to be easy. And so as we think of what diligence is, let's think about what diligence is not. Diligence is not laziness. Diligence is not apathy. And those are two things that are so easy. It's so easy to get apathetic. It's so easy to be lazy and to be comfortable, especially in our Christian walk. And we like to maintain our faith rather than add to our faith. We like to just kind of go with that smooth sailing. And me and God, we're like this. We're good. We're tight. You know, we talk every morning for a few minutes. And I pray before I go to bed at night. So we're good. But are you passionately pursuing Him? Are you being diligent about your walk? Or are you being lazy or apathetic or just complacent and satisfied with your walk? That's really what it is. It's satisfaction. Well, we're not supposed to be satisfied. We can't be just satisfied with who we are. We need to be satisfied with who He is and strive to be more like Him. When I was a freshman in high school, I was not a great student. Well, that goes for most of school altogether. I was not a great student. But it wasn't necessarily because I had a hard time, because I couldn't be. It's because I didn't want to be, because I didn't want to work hard, because I didn't want to be diligent. And I remember that word was directed at me more times than I can even think of right now. Be diligent. And my parents said it to me all the time. My teacher said, you need to be diligent. I'm like, oh, this is the worst word ever. Because it just means I have to do more work. I'm trying to find the easy way out just to get through high school. But everybody's telling me to work harder because I have potential and I could get good grades. I'm like, I don't care about getting good grades. I just want to finish. That was my attitude. And my freshman year was the worst of all of high school, as I'm sure it was for many. But that freshman year, I remember one time, I had a book report due, and I had totally just forgotten and slash blown it off and not thought too much about it and, of course, not put any diligence into it. And I was lazy. I was apathetic. I showed up at school in the morning and the book report was due. I don't remember which period it was due, but I do remember that in homeroom that morning, I wrote my 3-page book report. I didn't read the book. I didn't put any effort into it. I just sat there and I said, I have to hand in something. And I start writing out some stuff. I had heard what the book was about. I knew the idea of the book, and I wrote this book report in homeroom. So there was no diligence involved whatsoever. That was apathy and laziness. And, you know, as I go and I hand in that report, I'm not expecting anything decent in return. I'm actually handing it in thinking, man, I don't approve this work. And that's what he talks about there. He says that we might be approved and that we may not be ashamed. And so I'm handing it in like, you know, I'm ashamed of this, but here you go. It's not an incomplete. It's not a zero. Take it for what it is. And you know, just if as long as it's enough to get by, that was my attitude. Well, fast forward a few years to my senior year, and we had our big research paper. And this was quite a different circumstance. We were able to pick our own topic to write on, and we had to research, and it was a lot more fun to me. So I was like, you know what, this is going to be good. I picked what I wanted to write on, and I did my research, and I was diligent about it. Now, if I remember correctly, the book report, I didn't fail, but I got a really bad grade. And if you guys know book reports, it's like you can get a good grade on book reports without trying very hard, but that shows how little I did try. But then the senior year, and I put the effort into it, and I was diligent about getting the work done, and I did my research, and I worked hard at it. I got the highest grade I ever got in high school. I was amazed. I got the report back, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I've never seen those numbers before. But it was diligence, and that was the idea of just the difference between a few years. It wasn't necessarily because, you know, anything special. I just decided this one time I liked what I was going to be writing on, and I worked hard at it. And it was the idea of just being diligent, not being lazy and apathetic. And when we're diligent about something, when we put the effort in, we're not ashamed of the product, and we're not afraid of what the result might be. But when we're lazy and apathetic, we're like, I have no idea what the result's going to be, and I don't really care that much either. That was me. You know, now you know me a little bit in high school as a student. So that's diligence. What is diligence? It's putting the effort forth. It's working hard. It's pursuing passionately after your goal, whatever the goal might be. But for us, we know that the goal is a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. The next word we see there is to present. What is the presentation of you? Who are you? Who are you? That's the question. And it's not a question of what you want people to think, because we can give presentations, right? And you know, I could dress up in a fancy suit and nice fancy shoes and all this stuff. But if you know me, you know that's not me. You probably rarely ever have seen me in a suit. That's just not who I am. That's not a representation of who I am. So I'm presenting something to you that's not the truth. How are you presenting yourself? Are you giving off the shield and this facade of like, hey, this is who I want people to think I am? But really the question is, who are you? Not who do you want people to see, or who do you want people to think you are? What do you want people to think about you? But who are you really? Are you something that's going to be presented and it's going to be acceptable? It's going to be approved? Are you diligent? You know, thinking about like a company, if you have a presentation, right? You have something that you're trying to present. You have an idea or a sales pitch. You're going to prepare for it. You're going to put the work into it, because you don't want to look foolish in front of your colleagues or your boss, for example. You want to look good. You want to make it the best that you can and say, wow, look at this. I've put this work into it, and here's the diligence, and here you go. I have confidence in this. So that's to give this presentation. And really, the presentation is not, like I said, about what you're trying to let people see or think, but the presentation is of who you really are. And is it somebody who's going to be diligent about the Lord's work, or is it somebody who's going to be lazy and apathetic? Or is it even somebody who's going to be diligent about the things of the earth and not just the things of the Lord? The next word is that we would be approved. That meaning acceptable or pleasing. Pleasing not to man, but to God. It's really easy for us to be man-pleasers. We know what man's standards are a lot of times, and we know that we can meet those standards. We can fulfill a role. We can fulfill something that somebody's asking of us. And it's not about man, but it's about God. Is your presentation acceptable to God? Again, the book report versus the research paper. I knew that the book report was not going to be very acceptable. And I handed it in saying I didn't put the diligence and the hard work into it. So here you go, but it's just some words on a page. But the research paper that took diligence and hard work, I handed that in with confidence saying, I worked harder on this than I did anything else in all of my years of school. We can't worry about pleasing man more than we are trying to please God. We get so wrapped up in that, and we like to do what people tell us to do. And we even, here at the church, people will come in maybe for counseling, or they're facing something, and they're like, just tell me what to do. I need an answer. Give me the guidelines. Give me the map. I need to know point A to point B to point C, all the way through my whole Christian walk, my whole life. Tell me what to do. Well, read your Bible. Let God tell you what to do. It's not me telling somebody what to do and then them doing it, because then they're pleasing me rather than pleasing God. And I just say, hey, read your Bible. Do what God's telling you to do, because you can't go wrong with that. You can't. We get so wrapped up in pleasing man. It's so easy for us to worry about that, because it's a picture of who we want to be rather than who we really are. It's this fake representation rather than a sincere presentation of what would be pleasing to God. Man's standards, they're too low. And we can rely on ourselves to reach those standards. Like I said, we know what man's standards are. They're given to us very clearly a lot of times, especially in a workplace or in school or things like that. Man's standards are right there in front of us, and we know that we can rely on ourselves to fulfill those standards. But God's standards are too high, and we have to recognize that we need to rely on Him to reach those standards. That's how we gain God's approval. Man's approval is just a simple standard that we can fulfill. God's approval is a standard that we can come nowhere near on our own strength. And that's why it says approved by God. I'm sorry, approved to God. Does it have that stamp of God's approval? Or does it have just the stamp of man's approval? Does it have the stamp? What does our life look like? Is it just, here's Mike, a stamp of man's approval. Everybody likes Mike. Or is it a stamp of God's approval? And it doesn't matter if people like me or not, but I'm pleasing God. Who are we? Really, who are we? And what is our representation? Is it what's pleasing to God, or is it what's pleasing to man? Next, we see that you would not be ashamed. Well, how will we not be ashamed? By putting in that diligence, because we'll have confidence in our work. We'll have confidence in something if we're not ashamed. The opposite of approval is being ashamed. You present something, and if you're ashamed of it, if you haven't put your work into it, then you're going to be ashamed of it. When we are diligent, we have nothing to be ashamed or afraid of. And when we're lazy, we will have everything to be afraid and ashamed of. It's really you know, it's embarrassing to do a job halfway and then have it judged or have somebody then look at it and then it's going to be examined. You know, the work here at the church, for example, you know, Sasha's been working hard along with other people. He doesn't do it halfway. He doesn't say, all right, I'm just gonna kind of get it done and cover up the bad spots. And, you know, everybody's looking at that construction job. All of you, we know, you're all walking in every week and like, wow, look at something new. Look at that. There's a wall that's got a hole in it over there. And there's, oh, you know, we know you guys are all inspecting the work. And so Sasha's not going to just sit there like, yeah, so what if there's just a little bit of mess over there and, you know, it's okay if this door is broken in half a little bit or, you know, whatever it might be. He's not going to present that work to you guys as the church and say, look at this new construction project that I've done. And you guys are like, wait, why do I have to stand like this to make it look straight or something, you know? That's not what he's going to do, but he does his very best. He works as hard as he can, and he works with diligence to show himself approved so that when you guys walk in, you're blessed, and you see the work that's been done, and I pray that you guys are blessed, and you've seen what's gone on, and we're not finished. It's getting there. Slowly but surely, we're dealing with the township and the Board of Health now to get the coffee shop up and running, but It's slowly happening, but the reality is it looks great. And as you walk in, you say, wow, that's awesome. And there's a stamp of approval, and Sasha is not ashamed to present that work to you. We need to be careful of how we present ourselves, of who we really are. Because that's the presentation to God. It's not a presentation to man. It's not a presentation to say, look, I am spiritual, and I read my Bible, and I, you know, Jesus said, you know, when you pray, pray in secret. When he talks about fasting, he's like, keep it to yourself. I'm not going to stand up here. I fast 3 days every week, and, you know, that's not what we do. That's not what we want to present. It's not about presenting to man who we want you to think we are, but it's about presenting to God what's approved and what's acceptable to him with our lives. And further here, it talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is a letter that's written to Timothy. Timothy, who's a young pastor, and Paul is writing to him saying, hey, you need to rightly divide the word of truth. And so you need to be diligent about that, presenting yourself approved to God. Don't worry about man. Don't worry. Listen, being a pastor is not a popularity contest. It's about pleasing God with your ministry and your life and being a man of integrity. And he finishes it up by saying that you would rightly divide the word of truth. So this is a challenge to Timothy as a pastor, as it is to me, my dad, every other pastor. It's a challenge that you rightly divide the word of truth, to work hard to divide the word of God, to study the word of God, to understand, to interpret, and to present the word of God. That's the challenge to Timothy. And the idea that he's saying to rightly divide the word of truth means that there was some wrong dividing of the word of truth going on. Maybe not from Timothy, but by others around. And we know there's always heresy. There's always false doctrines that are getting thrown out there. And you can probably see books that are written, and you see in Barnes & Noble, or you hear different things, see them on the TV maybe, of these guys that are out there that are preaching various doctrines. Don't just take them for what they say, but line it up with Scripture and see if they're rightly dividing the word of truth. That's where we take our whole method of studying the Bible from the Bible. Calvary Chapel, we study through the Bible verse by verse. We can't stray from that, because we're going to get lost and we're going to tell you something that's probably off the wall if we stray from the Word of God. Because we don't have a clue. but God's word definitely does. And we cannot stray from that. We need to rightly divide it. How do we rightly divide it? We study diligently. Now, this is written to Timothy as a pastor, but it can apply so easily to every one of us. Because our jobs, each one of us, is to study the word of God, to know the word of God, and to understand the word of God, and not just the words on a page. You know, we like to open up and we like to find that feel-good verse. We like to flip through and, oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to get a good pat on the back today. There's a lot in the Bible that's more challenging than it is a pat on the back. A more of a kick in the pants than it is a pat on the back, right? We need to take the word and we need to be careful of how we read and study the word. We don't want to just pull a verse out and say, all right, this verse means, what do I want it to mean today? Lord, speak to me. And then you're like, oh, yes, this is what God's saying to me. Listen, God will speak to you through his word. His word is so powerful. In Ephesians chapter 6, we know the armor of God, right? And we have all these things, the helmet, the breastplate, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of salvation, the sword of the Spirit is the one thing that's the word of God, that's the one thing that's a weapon. You go on the offensive with the word of God, everything else is defensive, it's to protect yourselves. The helmet, the breastplate, the shield, so that you can protect yourselves and you can keep yourselves. But the word of God is what's living, it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a weapon. Not that we take it and beat people over the heads with it, but that we use it to minister and to encourage and to challenge. Not just others, but for ourselves. Our job isn't to take the scripture and then go deliver it. Our job is to take the scripture, apply it, and then share it. So the challenge for Timothy was to rightly divide the word. It's a challenge for all of us. And we see the power of the word I shared in Ephesians 6. We see the use of the word in 2 Timothy 3:16, just the next chapter. We know it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not some good works, not most good works, every single good work. The word of God is going to be your equipment. It's going to be your tool. It's going to be your weapon. For every single good work, that it says there that he may be complete, and that word complete is perfection. Now, we know none of us are perfect, but God's word is perfect truth, it says in Psalms. It's perfect. And as we study, as we rightly divide, and as we apply it to our lives, we may be complete. Many of you know Dan Schilke, who was an assistant pastor here for a number of years and then went up to Canada and started a church. He was one of my teachers in high school. His class was one of the classes I paid attention in. But he always said to us, probably every day, the word of God is useless to you unless you learn to apply it to your life. It's just words on a page. That's all it is. It's just like every other book, unless we learn to apply it to our lives. And I love this verse in 2 Timothy 3:16, as it says that all scripture is given by inspiration. That translation is that all scripture is God-breathed. It's spoken from God to man to a page. This is God's word. There's a lot of good authors out there. There's a lot of really good books out there. I'm sure you've all read a number of different great books out there, and we could list off tons of them. How many great books are out there? How many great authors are out there? How many great theologians and scholars are there that we can just learn so much from? And that's all great. But there is only one book that is perfect. There's only one book that brings life. There's only one book that God is the author of. So as much as we put value in these other books, and we like to pass them around too, we like to say, hey, this is a great read, you should read this book, and that's fine. But what about, hey, man, I was reading this morning in my devotions, and this is a great read, you should read this passage. There's only one book by God. And all these other books, like I said, they're very good. And they're great men and women of God who've written these various books, but there's only one that gives life as we learn to apply it to our own lives. So rightly dividing the word, as we talked about a sword, we talked about the sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon. What is a sword used for? Well, you grab it, you have your hand on the handle, and you use that sword. You cut through things, you pierce things, you slash things. There's all different things that you do with the sword, and that's what God's word is used for. We get a good handle on it, getting a good handle on the word of God, so that we can use it properly. If you don't have a good handle on your sword, you might drop it, or you might cut yourself, or do something that you don't intend to do with it. But if we get a good handle and a good understanding of the word of God, then we can use it properly. As a sword is used to cut, the word of God is used to cut through the heart, to convict us, to challenge us. The Bible's not so much of a feel-good book. It's a challenging book. And it's not always easy to handle, to swallow the themes of the Bible, because it challenges us. But it is powerful. It is useful, as it says there in chapter 3, verse 16. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped. This is the right equipment for everything in our Christian walk. This isn't a knockoff version. You know, this is the right tool that's going to lead us, and it's going to thoroughly equip us for every good work. Not just mostly equip us, not give us most of the things we need to know. It gives us everything. And Peter talks about God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he separates the two, life and godliness. You see, here's life, okay? Just for those of you who don't put life and godliness together, let me separate them for you. That's what he's saying. Here's life. It gives you all things that you need for life, and it gives you all things that pertain to godliness. That's the word of God. All things, not some, not even most, but all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the challenge is set out there for Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. But further, how does he do that? Through diligence, through working hard. For us, it doesn't just have to apply to the Bible. It doesn't have to just apply to studying the word. Directly, that's what it addresses right here. But think about that word, diligence, in our lives, in our walk. We need diligence. We need to passionately pursue Jesus Christ. We have that word diligence to apply to every area of our lives. And like I said, that's just simply the verse, the theme, the word that God's given me for myself this year. Maybe it's something totally off the wall to you. I don't know. But that's just what God has put on my heart, what I want to share with you and encourage you to be diligent. To be diligent about studying the Word, to be diligent about your walk with God, to be sincere, to be real. To not put just this false representation out, but who are you really? To be diligent in our everyday walk and making practical decisions that would be pleasing and acceptable to God. To be diligent in your time of devotions. Not to make it a chore, but to make it time with Jesus. As you would spend time with your friends, as you spend time with your family, your spouses, your brothers, your sisters, why do you spend time to deepen relationship, to further relationship, and to invest in that relationship? That's what our devotion time is. It's not, oh, I got to get this done. I got to read the Bible. I got to pray, and then I got to get to work. But to be diligent, not just to make it a chore, but to make it about investing in our relationship further and further with Jesus Christ. To be diligent for me in leading my family, my wife, and my children. To disciple my children effectively. To be diligent in that. I can't be lazy. I can't be apathetic. It's so easy to be let that slide this time. That's okay. It's all right. Don't do it next time, whatever. Instead of being diligent in discipline and following through. That's what they need. To be diligent in managing our time, managing our homes, managing our finances. All these things are very, very practical, but very spiritual. As diligence can apply so well to our personal lives, to our families, to our walks with God, to our work life, to our study in the Word of God. Diligence. That's what God has given to me to challenge me. I'm not standing up here telling you that I am a diligent person. As I shared with you from my freshman year in high school, that's in me. That's who I am. That's what I can easily go back to and say, all right, just put this together. Here you go. But God has given this to me as a challenge for 2014, not just for a word. I wasn't asking God to give me just a word for the sake of having a theme. I was asking God to give me what He wants out of me this year. What do you want me to do more of? And it's diligence. And it's seeking His Word. We need it. Simply, we need it. We're lost. It's life to us, and we are lost without it. And too many times, I know I don't treat it the way I need to. I don't treat it as life. I don't treat it as goal, just eating it up, devouring it, and falling in love with it. Too many times. We need to be diligent about the Word, about our walk with God, to put the effort in, to work hard, not to be lazy. You know, I think of the story of David with Bathsheba. And how easy it is for us to kick back. David was the king. He was supposed to be out at battle. But he said, they got it under control. I'm just going to kick back. And he has the moment of idle time. And he sees Bathsheba out on that roof bathing. And that's when the enemy got a foothold, was through his laziness. Through his pride, really, is saying, I don't need to do that. I can just relax. That's me. That's in me. So easy to just kick back and relax. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Because we know sometimes you need to just kick back. We know there's time for rest. Believe me, I know. I've got 3 kids and one of them does not sleep ever. There's time for rest. Very few little bits of time for rest, but there is time. I'm not talking about the physical, I'm talking about the spiritual. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we don't need to worry about, okay, I'm just going to kick back right now because I'm doing good in my walk. I've had devotions every day this week, and now I can just kick back, and I can rely on the last 6 days because that's good enough. You know, we so many times rely on what God has done rather than looking for what God will do and what he wants to do. And that's why I want to look forward for 2014. I want to look forward, and that's to be diligent. I don't want to say, wow, look at 2013. What a great year. And it was. Praise the Lord. It was a great year. God has done great things in each of your lives, in my life, and so many people. We've seen growth in the body here, in each one of you, and it's such a blessing. But 2013's done. Not that we forget about what God has done, but we can't just rely on what God has done. We need to look forward to what God wants to do. And I think, you know, as I was sharing and I was thinking about high school, right? And I was sharing about the student I was. Well, you know what my biggest problem was in high school? I was living from youth retreat to youth retreat, relying on what God had done. And so I had the summer youth retreat, and there was this spiritual high, and this was great. Praise the Lord, I'm changed forever, and I'm never going back. Really? A couple months later, lazy again, relying on that youth retreat from 2 months earlier. Then there's the summer missions trip. This is great. Praise the Lord. I'm changed forever, and I'm never going back. 2 months later, lazy again. Apathy sets in. Relying on what God had done on that one missions trip. Oh, now there's the winter youth retreat coming up. This is when I'm going to get back on track. Instead of right now saying, Lord, I need to change, and every day I need to be diligent to study the word, to pursue with passion to be more like Jesus. We need that diligence. We need just that simple thing in our lives. It's such a simple thing, right? So much easier said than done. And as I remember back, I remember coming home from school, sitting down, not wanting to do homework, but my parents telling me to be diligent. And I never wanted to be diligent. But realizing now in my walk with God, that's exactly what I need more of. And it's simply just to work harder and not to be satisfied. Our satisfaction is Jesus. Our satisfaction isn't what we accomplish. And that simple word, like I said, to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser, because man's standards are too low. And we can do it on our own. But God's standards, to please God, to be pleasing and acceptable, to be approved by God, that we would not be ashamed. Meeting God's standards and God's approval is when we're fully relying on him and seeking him for what he has and not what we think we need to do or relying on what God has already done in our lives. He wants to do a new work. He wants to continue to work in each of us, and we need to allow him to do that by diligently seeking him. Let's pray.